Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast. It's your host, Alex.
And Sarah. We are really excited to sit down with Katie, the owner of Bean and Pie, a bakery out of Rathdrum, Idaho today, and hear about their journey turning their dream into a reality. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Katie, for taking the time to sit down with us today. So why don't you just start out by introducing yourself and your business, Bean and Pie?
Yeah, so my name is Katie Bean, and obviously the owner of Bean and Pie. It's a pie bakery that started about 2.5 years ago out of our little home kitchen in Post Falls, Idaho, and has since then grown tremendously. Right now we have plans in the works to open a shop in Coeur d'Alene, hopefully later this year. And what our business is about is really supporting local producers and farmers, and so we try to incorporate as many local ingredients and products into our pies as we can.
So have you always enjoyed baking, and how did you come up with this idea?
So I always loved baking, and I grew up in the kitchen with my mom, but pies were always just kind of intimidating to me. We did more like cookies and brownies and always a lot of baking during the holidays. And then when I met my husband, Ethan, he used to work at a pie shop in Michigan. And so we got married and he started making me all these pies, and I was like obsessed with it. I was eating a ton of pies. I would like come home from work and he would just have a pie there on the table. And I'm like, okay, I could get used to this. And I don't know if I just became so obsessed with pies that I wanted to learn how to make them, or if he was just sick of making them on his own. Nice. But eventually he started doing the crust and I would do the filling, and we'd kind of tag team it. And I just kind of fell in love with the process. And then incorporating, like, we'd go to the farmer's markets and get local ingredients and stuff. And so I just loved the idea of, like, a really fresh pie. And so one day I was making a pie in the kitchen. I was like, Bean and Pie, so that's our last name. So it's definitely a quirky name for the business. But I was thinking, okay, like, we love pie, and then we love sharing pie with other people too. And I think the thing that I like most about pie is that you just, like, you sit down and you enjoy it with other people. I don't think you're really gorging yourself on a whole pie by yourself. I mean,
yeah, right.
I have on occasion, but for the most part, it's something that you enjoy with other people. And so we really just wanted to share, you know, create something that people could share and enjoy together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you talk about starting your business out of your kitchen. At what point did you think it was time to expand?
So it was, you know, a little slow going at first. So we're like, let's start a business. It'll be fun. You know, like all the things they tell you about starting a business, you know, like you'll make a lot of money, work-life balance, be your own boss. I quickly realized that those were lies, but we just started making pies and doing a lot of pop-ups around town, and it was kind of slow at first. A lot of times we like come home with leftover pie and just be really discouraged, but just kind of like the snowball effect, you know. So we would do pop-ups at Post Falls Brewing Company, or we'd do events at Maker's Market, different coffee shops around town. And I think once the word got out, it was like, okay, like, you know, this is actually, this could be a really profitable business.
Nice.
So I'd say probably after the first full season. So we started in 2017, and then the next year, we did the farmers markets. We did the Kootenai County Farmers Market, and then the Kendall Yards Market in Spokane. And then after that, it was like, okay, we kept having the repeat business, a lot of regular customers.
Yeah.
So people were really getting behind what we were doing. And that was kind of the point where it's like, okay, you know, we could really do this.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. So we saw that you started a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with this idea, and how did you kind of promote it and get such a great response from it all?
So the Kickstarter, let me just say, it was like the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. So after, you know, the farmer's market season in 2018, we knew that we wanted to open a shop, but we had no money. You know, I mean, we had done plenty of events and had some money saved, but we just put that back into the business. But it wasn't nearly enough to be able to, like, renovate a building or, you know, build a commercial kitchen.
Oh, totally.
So we're like, okay, we probably need to raise, like, $20,000 to be able to put that money down on a bank loan. How can we do that? And so we'd seen other businesses use Kickstarters, you know, to kind of get their feet off the ground. And so we kind of just made the commitment and had the idea of doing it. And so we recorded the video, kind of got all of the plans in the place for the Kickstarter. And then the night before, I think a couple days before we made the announcement, and then I even asked my husband, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do we want to do this? Do we want to put ourselves out there? And although we have the community support, it's one thing to just be like, absolutely, we'll raise that $20,000. I mean, totally. That's a lot of money. So kind of the night, or I think it was two nights before we launched the Kickstarter, I was in a panic, and I'm like, okay, it's the middle of the holiday season. People are trying to save money. They're buying presents. Maybe they wouldn't want to contribute to our Kickstarter. So I got the idea of just like messaging, you know, different family and friends, different local business owners who had kind of become acquaintances and friends. Nice. And, they all were like, yeah, we'll help you spread the word. So it was amazing. I think we probably had about 30 to 40 different like friends and business owners share our Kickstarter in the first 24 hours. So we raised $10,000, which was halfway to our goal.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just amazing because you put yourself out there, you know, and you have this idea that the community will support you. Yeah. But when they actually do, you know, it's after you take that leap, feeling. It's like, yeah. So it was really awesome to know awesome. That we had their support. And then obviously we raised the rest of the $10,000, you know, in the next month. So yeah, it was a journey, but it was like, it was the coolest thing.
That's great.
Really just cool. To know that they really stood behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so. Really nice.
Yeah.
Would you recommend like all businesses to start out at the farmer's market or just certain types of businesses?
That's a really good question. So if you think about, you know, what a farmer's market is, so it's a lot of, I think, it started out, you know, as farmers, you know, needing a place to be able to sell their goods. So I think, you know, farmers, agricultural producers, I think that's a really good venue for them. And then I think about other successful businesses too. So ones who have like value added products. So we're taking a lot of local ingredients and then we are, you know, making pies with that. Or people who make bread, for example, different bakeries or like soap companies. So, I think a lot of businesses kind of along those lines will have a lot of success at the farmer's market, just because I think that that's, if you think about the person who's shopping the market, I think they really appreciate those products. So
yeah,
maybe it's not for all businesses. I can't see like, you know, a startup tech company doing that, but for, you know, somebody who's creating goods, you know, to try to maybe eventually open a store in their local community, I think it's definitely a really good place to start.
Yeah, yeah, get their name out there. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And totally. It kind of gets you as a business owner in a rhythm of like, it's one thing to make a product, you know, or do it a few times, you know, out of your house, but, you know, how do I expand? How do I grow? And then being able to work out those kinks too without having the full on stress of a storefront.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So.
Yeah. So were you surprised with the initial response of the community with your pies?
We were. It was, I mean, it was like a dream, you know. I think back to like 2.5 years ago when we started, it was just like, okay, you know, we'll make some pies and kind of see what happens. And then here we are 2.5 years later about to open a store. And it's, I mean, it's just kind of mind blowing. So it's not like it was like overnight success. You know, we had to work really hard, put in the hours. And I mean, I'm still putting in the hours.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's amazing that they do. You know, the people of our community continually, you know, come to our events and stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. How have you used community feedback to help create new products?
Yeah, so that's a good question. When we started, we were doing primarily like pastry top pies. So we'd do, you know, some lattice tops, and then we'd do about like half of the crumb tops. So for somebody who's not familiar with like a crumb top pie, it's like a mixture of, we use organic butter, local flour, some sugar and spices. So rather than like a straight pastry top, it's just a little bit crunchier, a little bit sweeter. So when we first started out, we were probably doing about half and half. And then we noticed that the crumb was like always outselling the pastry top pie. So, we kind of just started running with the crumb, and people like loved our crumb. So we started making more pies with the crumb, and now it's just kind of what we're known for. So that was definitely something that, like, you know, I had a vision of what I wanted my pies to look like. So we love doing the lattice tops. I think it's so beautiful, but the community really, you know, liked the crumb tops. So we kind of ran with that. And then other things like the gluten-free, there's a lot of celiacs or, you know, people who try to avoid gluten, so that's not my jam at all. I'm like, give me all the flour, but I know that for a lot of people that's important. So we want to be able to provide a really good, you know, gluten-free pie option, for people. And then same thing with vegan. So for people who are dairy free, whether it's like, you know, a new mom maybe who's breastfeeding, I know a lot of them try to avoid the dairy, or maybe it's somebody who's whole food plant-based who wants to indulge every now and then in pie. Nice. Or just somebody who's doing it for more of like an ethical, you know, environmental or animal reason. We wanted to be able to provide more options for them. So not that we have to be everything to everybody, but, you know, if it's reasonable for us, we want to be able to provide something for a lot of people.
Totally.
And the community has responded really well to that, too.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple of times that you try to source local. Can that be difficult at times, or has it made it easier to get products?
Mm. That's like, what do you say? It's like six in one hand, half dozen in the other. So, I mean, it's challenging, especially when we're so small. You know, I can't just like always just go out and buy, you know, a big, large quantity of something. I guess it just kind of depends on the product. So like seasonally, you know, this area is so abundant, like Eastern Washington, Central Washington, even this Idaho region that we live in too are very abundant in terms of what our region is producing. So we get all of our flour year round locally. We get like in season fruit. So peaches, apples, huckleberries, any of that kind of local fruit we're getting seasonally locally. But the challenge is like, you know, in the middle of winter, what are you going to do for your fruit? So there are times when we rely on frozen fruit for some of our pies. And then, so it's depending on the time of year, it can be a challenge. But I will say there's a really great organization called Link, and they're like a local food distributor based out of Spokane. And they actually have what's called the Link Box, too, where customers can get our pies from. And then they can also get different produce year-round,
really
too.
Cool.
Yeah, they have like weekly pickup hubs. So Link also provides wholesale too. So we get that's where we get our flour from. And then I'm always like asking my sales guy, hey, like what other local stuff do you have that we could incorporate into our pie? So having them as a resource has been amazing for us, just because that's what they stand for is a lot of the local stuff. And that's what we stand for too. So it's awesome having that resource.
Totally. Yeah.
Nice. Who were a few people you leaned on when you first started your business?
My mom and dad. Like, number one, they were amazing because they bought us like the convection oven that we needed to start out of our home kitchen. You know, my husband was there grinding it out with me for like the first 6 months. And it was really challenging at first because we were both working full-time jobs. You know, and then he would wake up early and make the dough for the day. And then when I'd get home from work, I would assemble and bake the pies. And then we'd like go to events or have people pick up the pies. So, I mean, he was tremendous in helping the business kind of get up and going. And he's still, you know, he's got his own things that he's working on too for his career right now. But he's absolutely like still helping me make all the decisions and working events with me and stuff, which is awesome. So, family, you know, my sister would come over and help me roll out pies in a pinch. She still does. I'm like, hey, I'll watch your kids for you. And she's like, okay, I'll make pie. And then what's been really instrumental for us is using a business coach through the Small Business Development Center.
Oh, smart.
So, like, I studied business in college. I went to school for fashion merchandising and apparel design, which sounds a little bit more like frou-frou than it is, but I learned a lot about marketing and business. And then my background is in retail buying, so I've worked for a number of large corporations, but nothing can really prepare you for being a small business owner until you get in there, you know, and just start getting your hands in there and figuring it out. So having this coach, when I first started 2 years ago, I'm like, hey, I have this idea. And so he's really helped me to be able to, you know, grow and then kind of figure things out as we go. And then been very instrumental in terms of going through the bank loan process. That's just been totally new for me.
Yeah.
So he's been able to help me with that. And then I just say so many of our local like food friends. So our friends Coffee Roboto have taught us a lot about kind of networking and getting out there in the community and just the passion of creating a product that your community really loves.
Yeah.
So we've done a bunch of pop-ups with them, and then our other friends Mac Bread and Lucid Roots will team up with for like family dinners or do different stuff with them too. So then I think just other people around town, different businesses, Post Falls Brewing Company, Evans Brothers, Gather and Savor on Instagram. So many people just from like Instagram have been tremendous in helping us get the word out, or, you know, I'll just shoot them a message and, hey, do you want to do this? And, you know, they're usually pretty receptive, so.
Yeah, that's super smart. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Right? Yeah. Cheesy, but true.
Well, you led right into the next question. Okay. How has social media helped your brand and business grow?
Yeah. I think really, I don't think we'd be where we are. Our business would have been, you know, as successful as it has been if we weren't in the age of social media. You know, so we started selling pies and just getting out there. And when I look back at our feed from 2 years ago, I'm like, man, that's rough. But I've really, you know, I've learned a lot. But yeah, I think, I mean, it's very much similar to the answer to the last question, but like just finding different people, you know, different businesses that your business or your brand works well with. Hey, how can I team up with them, whether in its event, whether it's a different product that we want to incorporate into our pies, or like a flavor, and yeah, just the support of like people who are willing to help you get your, you know, your brand out there and your message out there.
Totally.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
What are some exciting new projects you guys are working on?
So actually, I probably still have flour on my face, but I just got done testing a galette. So I'm making a spiced apple galette with like a coconut chai whipped cream.
Yum.
And that one is actually vegan, so really happy about that. So we're always, you know, as we're in this commercial kitchen now, we have a little bit more room than we did before with the commercial kitchen that we were renting by the hour. So we're able to expand a little bit more, get into a little bit more savory pies. We did like some pot pies this month. And then we're gearing up for Thanksgiving too. So
yeah,
that's like right around the corner.
Right.
So we're offering some new flavors for Thanksgiving too. We're doing like a crayon raspberry.
Oh.
We're doing the classic huckleberry that everybody loves. We do a pumpkin, and then we kind of make this little bean and pie touch. So we put our crumb topping on it. So you get your really nice flavorful pumpkin, you know, with the pumpkin spice and then the crumb topping too. So it's just the perfect, flavor texture combination. So I guess that's a very long answer, but we're always kind of testing new things. Kind of the next thing we're working on too is like, what can we do for breakfast, you know, in terms of like hand pies or galettes. So always trying to come up with something else. I always have these ideas. I'll just be doing something and I'm like, hey, that's a good idea, let's make it a pie. So we're always just kind of playing around. And
yeah, that's super smart.
Totally. So we noticed that you will compost. Does that help you save money at all?
So composting is something that we definitely like want to grow in more, especially just the sustainability aspect of our business. So right now it's a challenge. We haven't really connected with any, you know, farmers or local organizations. I'm sure there's some out there, but it's just a matter of, you know, reaching out to them and stuff. So, we've composted on like a smaller scale. But especially as we grow too, it'd be awesome to, you know, hook up with a farmer or something who's like, hey, I could use this, you know?
Yeah.
So that's definitely, I mean, if anybody is out there and they want like our apple peels or whatever, hit me up. But that's something we want to grow into. And then we're always doing our best to recycle and then just leave like as small of a footprint as we can with our business.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a big thing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever run into any roadblocks along the way?
Everything I do is a roadblock. Yeah, I mean, I can't even, I don't even know where to start with a list, and, you know, not to come off as complaining, but, like, you know, you just gotta, there's a lot of things that I run into, and it feels like a roadblock, but just even over the last couple months as we get ready to open our shop, I've kind of just changed my perspective, and, okay, this doesn't have to be the end, this way isn't working, but there's probably another way that can work and will work. I just have to kind of troubleshoot, you know, take some time to kind of think, you know, what's another way that I could get this thing done.
Totally.
And it usually works out. I think like in the beginning, probably about 2 years ago, every time I did something new or like it wasn't working out or just, you know, I failed at something, I would just want to quit or give up. But the more that you go, probably for you guys too, starting out with your podcast, like there's things that come up that they're hard and they're challenging and it might make you want to throw in the towel, but like, you realize, hey, you know, we figured that out, and then it gives you a little bit more confidence too to kind of move forward. So that's what it's been, you know, for me as a small business owner, is just learning this, you know, this isn't the end. That didn't work, you know, but can I try something? Can I do it a different way that will work?
Yeah,
so, exactly.
But that's, I mean, it's hard when you're going through that at the time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the lessons, I don't think anybody wants to learn lessons the hard way, but that's just, that's life.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's something that we're learning, is that quantity is just subjective, and the more you do it, the more quality that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what advice would you give someone just starting out in their local community?
Like for a small business owner?
Yes.
I'd say just, like, just do it, you know? And don't be afraid to take those leaps. There have been so many things that I've realized wouldn't have happened if I didn't take that leap. So, for example, I had a part-time gal working for me this summer. We did, like, 5 weekly farmers markets. And she was amazing, and she also had another job too, and so
wow.
She had worked like 6 days a week all summer, and I knew that I had wanted to bring her on, you know, as our shop was getting closer to opening, and so I told her one day, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna bring you on full time, and that was a huge leap of faith, you know, because market season was wrapping up, and I'm like, you know, will I have money to pay her and continue paying the bills?
Yeah.
But, you know, as I look back, everything has worked out. You know, we've had plenty of income from events and all of that, and, you know, at times even more work than the two of us can handle, but a lot of it is just taking that risk and taking that leap, but you don't know until you do it.
Exactly.
And I'm just a firm believer that, like, if you really stick with it and believe in it, it can happen. It might not look like what you think it's going to look like, but
yeah.
Maybe it's even better.
Exactly, yeah. No.
Totally. All right, now last question, let's end this on a fun fact. What is your top selling pie for you guys?
Probably our hand pies. So our hand pies, we start with like a little circle of dough, and then we put the filling in, close it up, most pie shops kind of stop there, but then we add another layer of filling and then our crumb topping. So if somebody's like a crust person, it's just the perfect crust to filling ratio. So I think, yeah, people can't get enough of our hand pies, and then right now salted caramel apple, which I think that's the one that I made for you guys to take home. But salted cool. caramel apple is like a huge favorite too for our customers.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can't go wrong with apple pie, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So thank you so much for joining us today, Katie, and talking about your business, Bean and Pie. Where is the best place for our listeners to get their hands on one of your delicious pies?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It's been fun talking with you. We do a lot of different events and pop-ups in the Coeur d'Alene area, but we also do a lot in Spokane as well. So this holiday season, actually our Thanksgiving pie orders open on November 1st, and then we'll have a pickup in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane, and then... if they follow us on our social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram, and then we'll post updates there too when our shop opens in Coeur d'Alene.
Awesome.
Perfect. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, guys.
We really appreciate everyone listening to episode 5 of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast. We are grateful to be able to share another amazing community story with all of you guys. Until next time, let's keep chasing those dreams, listeners.